Greetings, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Objection, the worldwide leader in contrarian a-holery. I am Judge David Johnson. Judge Dan Mancini is here as usual.
Greetings.
And again, last time we recorded this, you were on the cusp of the Bears-Packers showdown, correct?
Yeah, I'm lucky to be alive right now.
Yeah, so, yes. And in fact, we'll introduce our special guest now because he's got a Chicago connection. Mike Staley is with us, Chief Justice Mike Staley.
Hello.
So I don't know, were all your Bears fans slash friends, Mike, were they suicidal as well?
Well, see, I refuse to get excited about the Bears or the Cubs anymore because I know they find a way of imploding at the last minute. And once again, they lived up to my expectations.
Or lived down to them, probably.
Yeah.
Well, so I felt for, I mean, you're so bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, Dan, when we recorded last week. And
I know. I know. Well, you know, there was some good play by a third-string quarterback.
Oh, that's
kind of sad.
Well, let it be known that if you sprain your MCL while doing this podcast, you will not sit out and send in your son or something to fill in for you, right?
No, absolutely not.
All right. Nice.
I will man through.
Well, here's how it works with Objection. We kind of take on a topic that has typical consensus, either for or against it, and we go against the grain a little bit. We try to swim against the current. And this podcast is obviously inspired by one, was he a lieutenant, Harrigan? Is Harrigan a lieutenant?
I think he is.
From Predator 2, which we touched upon again last week, and we'll probably touch again next week and the week after that and so forth. But Predator 2 being the genesis of this podcast, where we kind of held that it was way better than most people said. So that kind of spooled this idea out, and here we are with another edition. So Dan, why don't you talk about what is our topic this week?
Well, I think it's a pretty controversial one, don't you think?
And actually, it's connected to one we did previously, where we took on the defense of Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, I mean, if we can do that, then I think we can do this one.
So we kind of up the stakes here,
which is a defense of Ewoks.
Yeah, even saying it sounds ridiculous. But I will say that my position on the Ewoks is that they were far from the cute and cuddly life forms that Lucasfilm merchandising would have us believe, and were in fact cold-hearted, murderous psychopaths, which we'll get into momentarily. But that is our challenge, and Mike Staley is here to provide the counterpoint. Mike, I'll let you start with an opening statement. How do the Ewoks make you feel inside?
I loathe those furry little bastards.
Harsh. Give us your Ewok spiritual journey.
Well, let's just say that I had the distinct displeasure of reviewing the latest in the Family Guy remakes of Star Wars.
Ah, yes.
So the It's a Trap, and it just completely reinvigorated my hatred for Return of the Jedi.
So your hatred of the Ewoks, yeah, has that affected your Return of the Jedi?
Yeah, it just kind of stirred everything back up. I hadn't seen the movie in a while, and it just made me realize how much I really do not like that movie.
Wow. And yeah. It's not just Ewoks, it's
the whole thing.
Whole thing, okay.
But the Ewoks are a very big part of that, because it's Lucas has kind of lost his mind starting at this point. You know, they came off Empire Strikes Back. Between he and Kirshner created this beautiful space opera, and then we turn into this, like, oh, let's rebuild the Death Star, and oh, let's destroy the Death Star again, and oh, let's introduce these little teddy bears that, forget it, you're just going to get me all worked up now.
It's fun. This is where you can do that. You can be worked up here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is your safe zone.
Exactly. Yeah. I was going to say the same thing. This is a safe place.
So what is it about the Ewoks specifically that torques you off so much?
You talk about merchandising. I think here's the guy who invented or, you know, kind of capitalized the cinematic merchandising industry. And he saw a way to really bring in little kids with these teddy bears, you know. I think it was just a cheap way of not creating an alien race that could have added something to the Star Wars mythos.
Now, would you have been satisfied if, I'm not even sure if this is a verified rumor or not, but was it the rumor that originally it was going to be Wookiees running around on Endor?
Yes.
Oh,
is that true?
That is true.
Okay, so would you have been cooler with that?
Well, I think that was, you know, when we finally saw that in, what was it, Revenge of the Sith? We saw
that's true, yeah. So maybe that was kind of a callback to that.
Yeah, I mean, that they actually played that off very well. I mean, for as much as I did not like the prequels, that sequence was pretty damn good.
All right, so then that would have lessened your burning hatred, you think, if it was Ewoks instead of, I mean, if it was Wookiees instead of Ewoks, or even any other race.
Yeah, I think it's symptomatic of what we were going through in the early 80s with that type of, that kind of storytelling, where you're bringing in these things here's a movie that's supposed to be sci-fi blockbuster, and yet they want to try and cater to every single age group. So I think that was the downfall with this, is they tried too hard.
All right, gotcha. So, I mean, that's probably, would you say that's kind of a consensus view of the Ewoks being too cutesy and, you know, not really, not threatening at all, and it's tough to digest them actually pulling off such an upset against the best legion that the Emperor has to offer. Although all the two previous movies have given us ample evidence suggesting that even the best of those clowns in the Stormtrooper armor don't really get it done anyway. So
right,
that's very true.
Nice. All right, well, Dan, let's. I guess we can embark on a little bit of contraire holery right now. Yeah. So, how would you go about taking up the standard of the Ewoks?
Well, I will. I probably occupy a middle ground, because I will say that when I originally saw Return of the Jedi, I was not impressed with the Ewoks. And I'll go further in saying, because I've watched it recently, that whole half of the story, the problem with it is that, I don't want to go too far afield, but the problem with it is Han Solo really should die.
Oh, wow.
Either at the end of Empire Strikes Back or the beginning of Return of the Jedi. There's just nothing left for him to do. Mm-hmm. So that whole Endor thing is, to me, it's just a distraction from what's going on with Luke and the Emperor and Vader, which is the real heart of the film. That's the good stuff in the film. The Endor stuff, not really as good. But I will say this. We just watched it recently. We watched, my son and I watched all six movies. And, I have to say, you know, looking at it again, I was incredibly disturbed by the fact that they were going to eat Luke and.
Well, there you go. That is one of my tentpoles right
gonna,
there.
They were going to celebrate.
They were going to burn them alive. Burn them alive and eat them.
Yeah, they already knew Leia. It's not like they'd never seen a human being or anything before. But you know, they decided they were going to have this beast on human beings that they clearly knew were sentient and had language and stuff like that. And no problem. Let's cook them and eat them.
Now, I'd like both of you to do this visualization with me right now. Let's take that scenario where Luke and Han and Chewbacca are strapped to the poles, right, and the fires are lit underneath them. And let's take it to the logical conclusion without the intervention of 3PO and or the Force. So to take that alternate, you know, what happens then?
Horror.
Unbridled, nightmarish horror. As our heroes scream to death as they are burned, and then the Ewoks proceed just to dine upon them, dine upon their flesh, blood oozing from their furry mouths, chewing on Luke's eyeballs, Han Solo's left testicle, perhaps, you know, just cleaning the bones of Chewbacca.
Well, they all sing yub yub.
They all sing yub yub, and they roll about in the offal and the charred remains of our heroes. Absolutely.
But you know what? I think with the Muppets being so big at that time, I think if Jim Henson's people had done those characters, they would have been far more interesting than what Lucas came up with.
That's true. Yeah. But
I mean, let's face it. There's a ton of stuff in Dark Crystal that's absolutely.
Oh yeah.
Compared to the Ewoks.
Oh, of course. I just think that people tend to I've always said that. You know, I still hold that the Ewoks are psychos because, I mean, you take away those little plot, the little plot lines, people just tend to forget what path they were on. They were on a horrifying path that would traumatize any child.
Now, do we know, are they the only indigenous species to Endor?
That is a Mac McIntyre question.
they probably, if they are, they probably weren't originally. They've probably eaten every form of that was on there.
Yeah, in cruel and unusual ways, too.
Yeah, sure. Maybe like on Naboo, there used to be a race of humans on there, too, but they've eaten them all.
I mean, what did they use for that? They used that bait to trap Chewbacca, right? That was some. That must have been some kind of indigenous life form.
That thing was always disturbing because it's like a leg.
Maybe it's
never figure out what it is or was.
maybe it was one of the rebel scouts. I thought the guy lagging behind, and then those diabolical little, homicidal maniacs grabbed him, chopped him up, and put him in a net.
See, but what you guys are saying would have been far more interesting than what we've got because, I mean, even John Williams' score plays off to this goofy little, kid Sesame Street kind of thing, and it's very annoying.
That is a good point. So I'll clarify even further. I'll say I'm defending the Ewoks as a species. How about that? and not as their role in The Return of the Jedi. So I know I'm moving goalposts here, obviously, but as a species, I think, if you were to, print out their awesome Star Wars species creature manual, flashcard that you use in a role-playing game. I think you would see craziness and homicide in there somewhere. But yes, obviously, they're cute and slapsticky and all that. And
yeah, it's like a Little Rascals episode.
We only see one guy on screen. I think it's just that one guy who dies, right? Just the not nearly enough to get liquefied.
He gets hit or whatever, steps on a mine or something.
That's right.
I just saw the episode, the Mystery Science Theater episode, Pod People, last night again.
Nice, yeah.
All the sickeningly sweet or annoying species in the Star Wars universe, the six films, are there any that eclipse the Ewoks? Michael, are any that eclipse the Ewoks and those that irritate you?
That's a good question.
Yeah, there you go.
It would have to be something in the pod race. Of the first film, but I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
Dan?
I mean, I think it's telling that we never see an Ewok again.
Yeah, good point.
I mean, they don't show up anywhere else. Of course, they are primitive. I guess that's an excuse.
Yeah, they probably haven't quite mastered. I mean, I think apparently from the footage I've seen, they've just mastered cutting down trees and trimming branches off them. So,
yeah. Well, that apparently
hang gliding.
And I'm sure if Mac was here, he could confirm, but I think that the reason that they switched, at least the excuse that they gave, from switching from Wookiees to Ewoks is that Wookiees had too much technology. And they wanted something totally primitive. Why they went with diminutive teddy bears is beyond me.
I mean, a lot of people might say the Gungans, I guess, but that's probably just because of Jar Jar, right?
I mean, yeah, I think he was an anomaly in that race.
Yeah,
I mean, clearly.
Hey, Mac, are you here?
Hello,
Mac McIntyre. I just ringed him in. I'll just.
Hey.
I thought we've been alluding to you, so I thought we would bring you on board real quick, Mac.
Okay, what's up?
We're talking Star Wars here. Dan. There's three. We got three point of views here. Mike Staley loathes the Ewoks with every fiber of his being. Dan Mancini's kind of in the middle. And I've kind of defended them as homicidal psychos versus bears. What's your take on the Ewoks? And we've got some other Star Wars related questions we'll throw us your way. I thought we've said enough of, boy, we wish Mac were here. So I thought we'd be in. So what do you follow on the Ewoks?
Ewoks, yeah. Well, as you know, I'm a fan, Star Wars fan. So that I will admit that I am pro Ewok.
You're pro Ewok. Wow. All right. Now what is? I mean. What is it about the Ewoks that you enjoy?
If you look at George Lucas's work as a whole, a lot of the stuff that he comes up with has to do with the small group that kind of fights against the large oppressive group, right? And that is probably best most visually illustrated through the Ewoks, right? They're these little guys just living in their little village, and yet they rise up and they help overthrow the oppressive invading empire. So that's kind of, that's sort of George Lucas's mindset, and his whole sort of philosophy all boiled down into a bunch of little, teddy bear type guys.
Michael, what's your response?
No, I can see that. And Lucas is nothing if not the ultimate recycler of his own material.
That's true. I mean, we were saying, Mac, Dan and I were saying how, and we've talked about this before, but the Ewoks left to their own devices would cook human beings alive and feast upon their flesh, you know, and apparently decapitate stormtroopers to take their helmets to play on drums and such. So,
right, yeah. Yeah, 3PO hadn't have been there.
That's right. It would have been Return of the Nightmares instead of Return of the Jedi, for sure.
The other thing is, you know, as much as people talk about how cute Ewoks are, there is something really disturbing to me about the combination of the size of their pupils, the fact that their teeth are like large and kind of flat, you know, they're not fangs.
And their tongue sticks out, yeah.
In there, yeah.
Right.
There's something about that that's just really, really, it's like nightmare fodder to me.
And it's amazing any of those little baby Ewoks even happen, because I would think they'd be disgusted by their own appearances.
And then they wear hats, too. That bothers.
That's true. They do like hats. Nothing else. No pants, but hats, right? So they're not afraid of displaying their junk to the indigenous life forms of, of Endor. But the tops of their heads, it must be some kind of religious significance, I'm thinking, for sure.
Bare fingers, bare toes, hairless. It's creepy.
Well, how about this, Mac? The other question we just asked. Any other species in Star Wars that you think are more annoying than Ewoks?
More annoying, huh?
Yeah. Either irritatingly cute or incompetent or whatever.
Well, the obvious answer is, of course, our old friend Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, we were saying that he's just a blight on all the Gungan race.
That's true, yeah.
It's unfair to characterize all Gungans as Jar Jars, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, go back and rewatch episode one, you watch the character of Captain Tarples, who maintains his dignity.
Wow, Captain Tarples, that's fantastic.
Yeah, well, you know, what Captain Tarples, his job in the movie is basically to, be annoyed with Jar Jar, and he does that, you know.
That's true.
Wouldn't you? I mean, number one, he's Captain Tarples, and then the other guy, the head Gungan, makes Jar Jar a general.
That's true.
But Tarples is like, hey, thanks, man. Thanks.
Yeah, talk about undercutting. So you got the Gungans, who are represented well by Captain Tarples, and you've got the Ewoks, who like to show off their tarples to anyone who will look.
They live in the woods, right? It's au naturel.
That's true. It is au naturel. Absolutely. What about your Max? Is that rumor true that originally Wookiees were going to be replacing Ewoks? It was going to be a Wookiee world? That's true.
That's the story that I had already heard, or always heard, was that the original plan was they're going to go to the Wookiee homeworld, and it was going to be Wookiees versus Stormtroopers in the big battle at the end.
Man, would you have bought that? And would you have enjoyed that more, or not as much?
Interesting. I mean,
I would set up some much needed character development with Chewbacca, don't you think?
That's true. But he's already a pretty fairly solid character. But going back to rumor, is that someone pointed out to George Lucas that, you know, Chewbacca, you know, is actually smart. You know, he flies the ship, he fixes the engine, he fixes R2 and 3PO. So, you know, he's pretty intelligent. So why would the people on his home planet be, you know, living in trees and sitting around campfires like the Ewoks are, right? They should have, like, some kind of, you know, high-tech society because they're working on engines and building things, right?
Pretty good logic.
I mean, Chewie definitely has some sort of technical degree.
He does. Like, he went to the Imperial Technical College.
DeVry.
Yeah, DeVry. Yes.
So, although they did revisit that in episode 3, we finally got to see the Wookiee homeworld. And it's they are living in giant trees, but they do have some cool machines that they're flying around in.
They definitely, most of those Wookiees have gone to Apex Tech, I think.
Yeah.
they took the first step. They made the call. So, okay, here's my last line. Here's my last defense point about the Ewoks. It brought us Warwick Davis.
That's right.
Was that really his first appearance?
Yes. He was like, wasn't he? He was like 12
or
something.
He was a teenager.
Well, he was only like 17 or 18 when they made Willow.
Okay.
I think he was like 17 years old when they made Willow or something ridiculous. So I think he was probably like, he must have been what, like 12 or something when they did Jedi.
Dave, did you talk to him about the Ewoks at all when you?
Oh, I did. Yeah, I did.
Okay.
And you think I would know this? I should go to sleep every night listening to that interview. but I know we talked about it. I think he mentioned how young he was. So yeah, he was like 12. That's a great excuse, Mike, to rerun the Warwick Davis interview.
I will run alongside of it. I was curious if he defended them at all.
I don't know if I ever. I'm not sure if I brought up that subject.
Okay.
Now that would have been, you know. So what do you think about the idea that Ewoks, you know, would devour defenseless, you know, human beings? What are your thoughts on that? He probably has some strong
stuff. Them in their clothes and everything.
I know.
It's ghastly.
I mean, and they had their children there too at that ceremony. You know, the little tiny Ewok children watching. You know, as the flesh peeled away from Luke's face.
But when they did the TV movies, though, they made friends with the human children. So maybe Maybe they learned from their experiences with Luke and everybody, and then decided not to become cannibals.
Or maybe the director's cut has them cooking and eating the kids.
Oh no!
You got to take the cynical approach with the Ewoks if you want to make sense of your life. Because if not, you will probably end up having some pretty big anti-Ewok bias. So, Mike Shaley, would you say you're a Ewok bigot? Is that what you would say? Is that what you classify yourself as?
I don't know if I'd go that far.
Are you an Ewokophobe, perhaps? I remember I had some pretty lame Ewok action figures, though.
Yeah.
I don't know why they were purchased for me or why I purchased them, because, you know, just like bit characters.
Cannon fodder,
that's it. That's true. Yeah. Who wouldn't want an Ewok just blow up with your A-Wing?
That's right.
Horrible A-Wing fighter. All right, well, I don't know. Have we talked enough about Ewoks? Dan, what do you think? Have we done anything? Have we made any progress in the timeless battle of pro-walk, anti-walk?
You know, I don't know, but it's a long struggle.
It is a long struggle, that's true. No easy answers.
We won't give up, but...
No easy answers. Well, with that, I guess we can we'll wrap up this edition of Objections. So thank you for tuning in. Thanks to special guest star Mike Staley and extra special surprise guest star Mac McIntyre. Gentlemen, your input was valued.
Sure thing.
Beyond knowledge. And I guess again, thanks to the Old White Man Cabal for funding this, as always. Facebook.com/OWMC. With that, yes. Dan, anything else we're forgetting?
Thanks. 10 points easy.